and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And we're here again.
Yeah, we made it.
Look at this.
Where were we? I don't know. We're back.
we're doing this consistency thing again.
Yeah. No, I do appreciate it, but it's been fun.
Yeah.
I think this reading stuff in consecutive order actually kind of it feels more
organized
and just feels like, you know, we're like there's stuff that we can call back to from the previous books. Not that there really is a ton, but there's a lot of these books that we read we haven't gotten to books yet that haven't been like a part of like series, like crossovers.
Sure. Yeah.
We might do some of those.
Sure.
You know, but a lot of times, you know, with these, you know, for instance, like this Marvel team up, like a lot of them are just ones and dones, you know, but nonetheless, we are here. And, when you listen to this, the new X-Men cartoon will be out.
That's exciting. When does that drop?
Thursday. It's 20th. Nice. The 20th. So, cause today's 18th. No. Is it Wednesday? Maybe it's Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, either Wednesday or Thursday. I think Wednesday.
Sweet.
Because I also played a lot of my WWE 2K24 game.
Yeah.
I had a big day with that yesterday. And
you do love the game.
You know, I'll just do a little quick video game review. I think it's a good game. It's adding on to the previous year as it should. And it's not like, it's not like an embarrassment like some of the previous games were.
Right.
So I'm very happy with that. And it seems like obviously there's a lot at stake in this promotion because it's the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania. So there's a lot based around that. Plus, you know, you got Cody Rhodes on the cover and you got these, you know, Bianca Belair and, you know, Rhea Ripley and there's like new stars. So that's, you know, I think it's smart to do right by them, you know, making sure that if this is somebody's first time playing this game and they're a fan of Cody Rhodes, that they don't have a bad experience.
Right.
But there's a few things that I don't like about it that I just don't get. But then again, you know, that's kind of how it is with all those games. So that's pretty much all I'll say about it, because this is not a video game podcast.
No.
It's not a game. It's not worst video games ever.
No, that's just YouTube.
And so say we watched also last night. I've been on this kick where I kind of want to watch like these HBO documentaries.
That's pretty much all I've been doing for like the past like 2 months.
Yeah, I just been interested. I don't know why. I don't watch them as much as you do.
I know.
But some of these I'm kind of like, we watched like this, like the true crime documentaries. And there's this one about like murders that happened with Playboy.
Like, yeah, women who were in Playboy or somehow connected to Playboy.
Yeah, like they ordered what happened was wherever this aired, because I don't think it aired initially on HBO.
It was probably like on ID or something like that.
Yeah, something Warner Brothers owns. Yeah. And they put it out and they probably ordered like 2 seasons of it. And they're like, well, what are we going to fill it with? Like, not every Playmate has killed a person
or has been killed.
So we got to like find like the girls around the website. We got to find literally just one woman that worked a week at
a club,
the Bunny Club in like the 70s.
Yeah.
And
then like 20 years later, she like killed her husband or something.
Or they thought she killed her ex-husband or a man she was having an affair with. Remember that?
No, I thought this was the one where like she ended up moving to a farm. Her and her son like killed her husband.
No, this is a different one I'm talking about. Oh, the other one that they're talk about there was an actual, I think, Playmate. Maybe she was. I don't know.
Feel like it was the same person. But
this is the one that the woman they kept on saying was tall and beautiful.
Oh yes, very tall and beautiful.
She was also a cop.
Yes, very tall and beautiful and a cop with blonde hair.
It pops me though because you know, and I know they're trying to do this, but it's like they don't.
They repeat themselves all the time.
They repeat themselves because they don't really have enough to say about like, well, this woman got killed by her husband. Next.
Yeah.
You know, and like, here's a few stories. Well, they, you know, it's like the man was jealous. I'll say this much. I'm fine with it because I kind of like just hearing about stuff. Like, I don't know about this stuff.
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm interested in it. You know, it's not like Forensic Files has done it, at least not yet. But I also like that they're featuring a lot of true crime podcasters in it.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of excited for that because I'm like, all right, like these true crime podcasters who some of whom I don't know any of them.
Right.
I'm not familiar with any of them, but good for them getting on something, you know, and they probably got paid for their time. Like, yeah. That's, you know, and you get to be on TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get to be on Max Plus. Anyways.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So what are we doing today?
I believe we're doing a Marvel team up of Spider-Man and Tigra.
Yes. Marvel team up. Tigra and Spider-Man.
No, oh, I got it backwards.
No, I said it because I started saying Marvel. I started saying Marvel. I went Marvel.
Marvel.
And that kind of hurt my brain for a second.
Oh, fair enough.
So I was like, I'm just gonna keep ruining it. Ruining Marvel team up, Spider-Man and Tigra, number 125 from January 1983.
See, this is what I didn't realize when I was looking at the cover here, but at the very bottom you have Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's really not much to explain on this cover, except that because you have Spider-Man and Tigra like jumping out at you, and then beneath with the separating them using their
powery things,
their
hex hands,
it's separating the frame, and you see Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, I would say the one thing that I really noticed about this cover is Tigra's got great hair.
Oh, she's always had great
hair.
That
is some great hair.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a wig, I don't know if it's regular hair. It's good.
No,
whatever it is, it's good.
I think that's part of her becoming more cat.
Oh, man. If I became a cat, would I get awesome hair like that?
You'd have like Chris Cornell hair.
Oh, shit. That'd be sweet.
You know, like that would be a real treat, you know?
Could I have like Jack Perry hair?
Oh, man.
Just like flowing locks.
It would somehow make you a member of the it was imbued. It has like a smattering of like Luke Perry genes in it.
That whole family, just amazing hair. Whenever you see them on AEW, just everybody has great hair.
Well, it's interesting because Jungle Boy,
yeah.
Jack Perry,
yep.
Is obviously Luke Perry's son.
Yep.
And
wrestles for AEW.
And he.
Well, or now, right now, New Japan.
New Japan, but he'll be back.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But he has. So his father, obviously,
Luke Perry
from.
Great hair.
90210. Great hair, just. Perfect, like it's like he was known for just having that like
a quaff.
Like just a quaff,
just beautiful, yes.
A beautiful, beautiful quaff. Even when he would go surfing and you come out, his hair still looked pretty good.
Beautiful hair, yeah.
And he must have married the most curly haired woman,
yeah,
because somehow that combined into the kids mostly got the curls, but it's just like this beautiful combination because they show like him and his they'll show Jungle Boy's mom and her daughter.
And the sister.
Or sister. Yeah, her sister. And the hair is like.
Everybody's got hair. The hair in this family is just beautiful.
I don't know. That's a thing,
just
man.
Just blessed with hair.
If I had like a precedent for hair in my family.
Yeah.
Like if my dad was walking around with Jungle Boy.
Just like a mane.
with just a rocking mane.
I don't know if I could picture Larry Merrick with a mane.
If he was walking around looking like. If he had like. Fucking Kip Winger hair or some shit. And it was like, and you know, my mom was kind of rocking like a big hair.
Yeah.
And then Carrie was walking around with the 90s.
Oh, the front, bangs?
The bangs in front. She rocked that. That was the thing. They all had that.
Oh, I remember. I remember there was like a girl in my school who had it like way longer than she should have. Even though we were young, so we were like at the very tail end. Like all the high school kids had that. So I think like her sister had it.
Well, my sister had it up until like, my sister started doing it. It was like 90. She started high school in like 91. So
yeah,
it was like,
no, this was like middle school. And I think it was like this one girl, her name was Chastity. And her bangs had to stand up like 4 inches off of her head and then like curl into this like perfect waterfall. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Like every day she rocked that.
But she hung on to it for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Like longer than she should have.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
You're young. You experiment.
You experiment. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's the thing. If I had the precedent for hair, you know, I'd probably be rocking like. Just beautiful hair.
Yeah, could you imagine?
But, you know, the Merricks, you know, my dad was always like short hair or whatever.
I feel like your brother kind of had like a hair thing because every time I saw Brian for a long time, it was like every single time I saw him, he had different hair.
Yeah.
It was like long or it was short or he had a mustache or he had some sideburns. And I was just like, very cool.
Well, Mark just had like regular ass hair.
Yeah.
And like my brother, Brian... He kind of had the He-Man hair going.
Yeah,
he had variations on it, and like you know, he'd have long hair, and then he'd have just, you know, just different like sick styles, whatever. And then he was rocking sideburns and, you know, it was like, man.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, but me, I'm just walking around looking like a normal-ass jabroni with short hair. Well, I had hair for a little bit.
You did have hair for a little bit.
Because I was told by a teacher at Emerson, because I was like, hey.
Because you've always shaved your head since you were like 14 or some nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always had a tendency to shave my, you know, to give my hair cut short. And the one time at Emerson, I was like, hey, so we're having a meet, you know, like a one-on-one or something. And I was like, hey, so like, what do you think some tips about presenting yourself? And he's like, well, you might want to grow your hair out because sometimes people might think you're threatening because you're tall and don't have, and you got like short hair, you know, no hair.
So you did.
So I was like, so I literally called you and said, I need you to help me grow out my hair.
And I was like, I mean, I could try. I don't have to do anything. I just don't cut it.
Yeah. Well,
I can't do anything about it.
Well, I just needed a way to figure out like what I wanted, you know, and maybe some styles. So I kind of went with like this Chris Jericho.
You kind of
like,
did, yeah.
2008 style kind of while. And it worked. And then I got sick.
Yep.
And then I just was
and
like.
And then you shaved it again.
I shaved it and I was like, fuck it.
And it was RIP hair.
RIP hair. But now I got a really cool device called Freebird and I could just run it over my head and it gives me like the smoothest like haircut. And I could just do that myself. So Wanda's got great hair too. She got a nice thing going.
It's a nice hair, but you know what? It's not. Tiger's got like nice hair.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Yeah, yeah. But I think it's mostly because she became more cat. Because she was like the cat. And then like.
She got like imbued with cat DNA or whatever.
Or something like there was like some sort of like mystical thing going on that like turned her into like decidedly more feline and just gave her great hair. But anyways, starting off the story, it is Yesterday and Today, starring Amazing Spider-Man and the fantastic furry feline Tigra. Written by J.M. DeMatteis, breakdowns by Carrie Gamble, finished art by Mike Esposito, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Tigra is just bounding off the rooftops in New York City.
I have to say that I realize she is like a cat person. But she's like running around New York with no shoes on and no gloves.
As she tends to do. That's
disgusting.
Yeah.
I realize you're a cat person. I get it, but ew.
Yeah, I mean, her soles got her, the soles of her feet that are
I mean, I'm sure they're like furry or something. Or she's got like toe beans. Like, how does that work?
Oh, I don't know.
Does she have toe beans?
I don't know if that's ever been addressed where she goes on like Wiki Feet and there's dudes that are like. Looking for her. It's like, I want to see Tigra's toe beans.
Wiki feet.
Ooh, wiki beans.
Wiki beans. Oh, shit. It's for all those cat ladies.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cat or woman cat?
She's bounding because she is on her way to do something.
She's on her way to do something, and on her way there, she happens. She's bouncing off of people's cars.
Oh, yeah. She talks to herself. She's like, move your striped behind in that adorable way you do. And I'm like, literally no one would ever talk to themselves that way, but okay. So she stops on top of this building where she's like looking down into a parking lot where she sees this cop like talking to these kids.
Yeah. And it doesn't look good.
Well, no, because he's like yelling at them because apparently they hang out in this parking lot and drink beer all the time. And he's like, hey guys, you youths. Can't drink the beer here because I've been getting complaints. He's like, and if you keep doing it, I'm going to have to take you in. And they're like, well, we're going to take you in on a stretcher. And he like, they hold up like a crowbar.
I just like this panel of just
crowbar,
just crowbar in the air. Like, like a cop says, hey man, you might not drink it. It's like, we're going to burn you. I saw this. I saw Joker do this.
I saw this in a book once.
I saw this in a book that doesn't come out for 5 years. But it's gonna happen. I'm gonna be the first one.
I'm psychic.
So yeah, she's but as that's about to go down, Tigra jumps into frame.
Tigra like jumps into frame and she's like, cops are your friend. And so obviously she does not say ACAP.
Yeah.
But
I think that's funny that you know, you got these guys that are just they're like, hey, what do you want to do today? Well, I think I want to go drink in a parking lot. I can't drink at my mom's house.
I mean, I feel like that was a thing that people did in the 80s.
Well, they still do now.
Well, they still do now. But I mean, like,
drinking in parking lots hasn't stopped.
No, definitely has not stopped. But I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, people did it and everybody was fine with it.
They were fine with it.
They were.
Being like, man, yo, man, this is the greatest day. Having a good time with friends. oh, this cop is hassling us. Oh, maybe if we murder him.
Oh, everything will be fine.
Everything will be okay. Oh, now there's a Catwoman jumping on top of me.
A Catwoman in a bikini.
A Catwoman bikini is pressing her toe beans on me.
Oh. feet.
Yeah, so this
gross.
This is not going well.
No.
And she...
So yeah, she dispenses of all the youth.
Yeah.
They run off, and then she's just like, hey, cop, how are you? I'm going to kiss on you, because I guess she's into him.
Well, here's the thing about Tigra is that in most of the things I read about her,
yes,
she is always horny.
Good.
Because she's a cat, and cats
cats always horny?
Or I guess cats just are, you know, they love to they're just...
Are we saying like cats that haven't been fixed?
I guess she's always in some sort of heat.
Gross.
Some sort of lady heat.
I just think she should just be getting it. Like, good for her.
Well, she does. I think she...
No, but I mean, like, you know, you just... fucking having a good time. Good for her. You know, go get it, girl. Just make sure, you know, take proper precautions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
you don't want to, doesn't want to have a litter.
Well, I think the people that are,
she's far too young.
Right. But I think the people that her mates might want to watch out too, because, you know, maybe some damage going on. Unless if you're a superhero, because I know, like,
I feel like the superheroes, like, their power that they never talk about is they're all like immune to STIs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Does not matter how many times they fuck or who they fuck, they're fine.
Yeah.
And I think that is the power that no one ever talks about. And I think they should talk about it more.
It's rare that you hear about, you know, sexually transmitted diseases. And superheroes.
I mean,
it's not uncommon. It's not completely uncommon, but
I don't know if I've ever seen it, but it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened.
Right.
We've never seen Tony Stark, you know, crying because he got the clap or whatever.
Yeah.
And if anybody was going to get it, it's probably Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's probably just like, it's like, my suit really chafes me.
Oh, that's why.
But that's the thing. Like, she's
actually
always
probably be Nightwing.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Dick, yeah.
Yeah.
Dick. I mean, his name is Dick.
His name's Dick.
But she's always like, I remember like in West Coast Avengers, a lot of times she's horny for, you know, Hank Pym. She's horny for Wonder Man. She's horny for, you know, anybody that's, I think Hawkeye might be in there somewhere.
Hawkeye sucks.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
I'm sure Hawkeye doesn't actually suck. It's just, I have such an anger towards Jeremy Renner.
I think the only person she's not hot for, well, I don't know if she's around when he's there, but is a U.S. agent.
Because
he's kind of...
Because he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he would be a lot of fun.
No, he's a complete turd.
Yeah, no, you definitely want to go for dudes who are fun, not angry.
That's why she hangs out a lot with, she goes bowling with like Tony Stark or
something. There you go. He's a good time.
Oh yeah. Tony Stark and a feline woman, watch the fuck out.
Oh yeah, man. That is a good time
That is a sex tape I want to see.
100%.
We were watching one of those shows yesterday, and it was like,
oh no,
Vern Troyer had a sex tape, and I was like, wait, did I remember this?
I did not remember this.
And I'm mad that I know about it now.
I'm very upset that I know about it. Because it was like one of those, what was it, like the Vice documentary about like Dark Side of the 2000s or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I watched.
And they were just talking about like TMZ, because, you know, TMZ is very scuzzy. And they were just like, yeah, we got the Vern Troyer sex tape. And I was like,
you did?
I didn't know that was a thing. And I don't want to know about people who have sex tapes. You know what? Keep it to yourself. That's cool.
That's your tape.
It's your tape, man. But I don't need to see it.
Yeah. But since it's a fake, these are fake characters, I do want to see the
Fake characters, 100%.
I want to see that.
I love fictional characters banging. So yeah, give me that until, you know, all day. So
she sets a date with this cop, but then
as she's running away, the cop who was in this parking lot specifically because he was waiting for the world's fattest man to come out of the deli, because his partner should basically be the blob. He should just roll into this.
He kind of is the blob. I think it's kind of the guy who is the blob.
Is this like the Blob Begins? Is that what we're looking at right now?
This is the son of Blob. Or maybe it's the Blob's cousin, Glob.
Oh, Glob. Yeah.
Glob.
Mm-hmm.
So he just comes out with this giant party sub.
Yeah,
just double fisted it in a parking lot.
Just like the fat, he's like, what did I miss?
Like he's walking with this. he's walking with it. Like
he's not even enjoying.
Because you even see like you know, so he's just a shot of him, like, you know, this panel of him like eating. But if you look closely as he's approaching, he's got it down. Like, he's eating it like he's holding like a clarinet, but he's eating it.
Oh, like, absolutely. You know that this man, every shirt he owns has a mustard stain on it.
Oh, yes.
Because he walks and eats giant subs. Like, him and Homer Simpson would be like the best of friends.
Yeah.
Bonding over their love of the sub.
So anyway, so Tigra gets to her destination, and she is, I'm just seeing how big this building is. She, like, because she comes in through the window.
Well, I'm assuming, you know, it's New York, so I'm assuming this is, like, what, the 27th floor of somewhere?
Yeah, but, like, I didn't really know that Tigra, because, I mean, we saw her bounding up across, like, rooftops and stuff.
Cat.
She's a cat, but, like,
cats can climb things.
I don't know. I just, she's kind of moving like Spider-Man is here.
I don't know. Cats climb with the jumpy and the tail and the claws.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
She stops by, you know, and it's at this ad agency, and you got this Mr. Bicky, who's like this, the Don Draper, or he looks more like a.
This is, I mean, honestly, if Mad Men had continued, this might be a Don Draper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because God knows.
Well, because Mad Men was like six, ended like what, 69, 70?
Oh, did it last that long? Did it go into the 70s? When was that stupid Coke commercial?
Well, because it ended right closer to.
Hold on, I'm going to Google this. Because that's what Don was thinking of at the very end. Remember that that Teach the World to Sing thing?
Which is such a bullshit ending.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
And he was the guy. Don Draper was the man. But yeah, so anyways, I mean, we could totally, yeah, but this could be like a Mad Men thing. He's filming a print ad. I thought this was like a TV ad.
Yes.
But it's a print ad for this Quickie Burger. Too many K's in that word, by the way.
You know, a lot. Released in 1971, so maybe that was like 1969, 1970 there.
So we're getting closer, so he's thinking of it, and then it's like he has to get all those people together in that video.
Well, or I mean,
that commercial, like, yeah. All like that big crowd, he's got to go around and ask each person.
I kind of have the idea that, you know, Don Draper drank so hard that I'm sure he like looked like John Hamm for a long time, and then one day he woke up
and looked like this guy.
Yeah, basically look like George Costanza.
look like Mr. Spacely.
Yeah, it catches up.
Yeah, this guy is like, hey, I'm filming this. We're doing this print ad.
We want a superhero spokesperson.
We want a superhero spokesperson because it's the truly heroic burger. I guess we're going superheroes. 1983.
Wonder what that tastes like. What do you think's in the very heroic burger?
Probably be something pretty lean.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, probably something lean. Actually, it's probably like a really thin patty with a lot of shredded lettuce.
Oh, no, I don't think that at all. I think this is going to be one of those, like, it's, you know, triple decker cheese, maybe some crispy onions on top. You know, we're not getting fancy enough yet, but if this was like the 2000s, there'd probably be an avocado on it.
Oh, no, thank you. But she shows up to do this thing, and she's flummoxed to find out that there is a co-star, and the co-star,
Spider-Man.
If you understand why this book is called Marvel Team Up and it stars Spider-Man, well, the co-star is Spider-Man.
Oh shit, it's Spider-Man.
Basically, the idea is that they need a superhero that has more recognition, so Spider-Man is obviously the biggest,
right?
One of the biggest, and you know, Tigra. I don't know why you even bother asking Tigra in the first place, but
well, because apparently she was an Avenger.
Well, she was an Avenger, yeah.
Yeah, so they were, because she says, oh, I thought you said having an Avenger would, like, be a good thing. He's like, yes, but two for the price of, one superhero is better, and Spider-Man's just there, and then he's like, you know what? Nah. And he just leaves.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I don't feel like this is going to work for me. You might as well just let Tigra do it. So they do it, and they actually have this great drawing here, during these shots, and she's just holding this burger.
Yeah, like leaning on a chair.
You know, she looks like Charo.
Yeah, oh my God, she 100% looks like Charo.
Holding a burger. So imagine if you know who Charo is.
Coochie.
Imagine Charo, but holding a burger. That's what you imagine. So
Coochie.
Yeah, Coochie.
Dude, she still shows up on Drag Race. This woman is still famous.
Really?
100%, yes.
Oh, wow.
She was on Drag Race this season, last season.
How old is she?
Oh, she's in her 70s. She looks great.
I was going to say, I would imagine she looks tremendous.
She looks great. She's still coochie.
Oh, of course.
Apparently, she plays like a guitar, flamenco guitar.
Yeah, she's a guitarist.
She's a very good guitarist. Yeah. And Yeah, but no, she still shows up on Drag Race all the time.
She was on like the first season of The Surreal Life. Do you remember that?
I didn't realize she was on The Surreal Life.
She was. She was like, it was like her and like obviously Flavor Flav and Bridget Nielsen and then one of the, and then some girl from American Idol that didn't do anything.
Which American Idol girl?
Ryan Starr.
Oh, I know.
I just remember she was some girl that didn't do anything, but they were, but she was like, oh, maybe like a finalist of some sort.
Sure.
And whoever else was on that show. But I remember, I just remember there was a dog. And I just remember Charo getting there first and eating a giant box of raisins like George Costanza or like Kramer and just offering people raisins.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Nice.
I only watched the first episode.
Yeah.
I remember that. So she's doing this burger deal and she's about to leave and she comes out there and Spider-Man is like,
oh yeah, because on the way on Spider-Man's way out before she starts doing this thing, he was like, "Oh, I didn't ever realize that Tiger is just so hot."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "All she wears is a bikini. How did you not tell? Plus hair. Great hair."
Great hair. I'm also wondering where her tail is.
Does she have a tail?
Well, sometimes she does and sometimes she doesn't. The action figures that I have of Tigra have tails.
Maybe this is pre-tail.
It might be. I don't know. Maybe she got more mutated, like Beast, and just like, I'm growing a tail.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's got a tail here because I feel like we would have seen it.
Yeah. So on her way out of the photo shoot, Spider-Man shows up and he like hits on her.
Of course.
Asks her out and she's like, nah, I already got a date. And she jumps away and he's like, oh, I made a fool of myself. And I'm like, you didn't really. You just asked her out and she said, no, it's cool, man. Don't worry about it.
Well, he's also fretting too because he's also kind of thinking about Black Cat. You know, I feel you, brother.
I get it.
Because this is before him and Mary Jane really got serious. And as you know from the previous book, because she's like, okay, because actually this kind of ties in for the previous book. Because
it does.
Because he's like, man, I really could have used that cash.
If I did the advertising thing.
Because I needed to help Aunt May. Mm-hmm. And her animal house of elderly people.
Old people.
To
her little frat house full of the old.
Yeah. Alpha old.
That they all moved into that house last issue.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so she's like, he's like, I could have used that cash to help her out, you mm-hmm. know, but, you know, whatever. And that was like the only connection. He's also thinking about like, what's her face? Black Cat. And yep. I'm like, what about Adrian Barbeau? Like, when's she going to get back in the picture?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Does she ever show back up? We don't know.
You know, that's a good question. I might have to look it up. It's probably like a thing where it's like, this character had a tragic end.
Oh, of course. Of course.
She was looking at Spider-Man and a fucking rock fell on her.
You know what happened is Aunt May was 106 years old and she was about to die. And death came to Spider-Man and said, I could kill Adrian Barbeau. So Aunt
May, you need
May,
a soul? I got no one right here.
So Aunt May can live another 3 months. And he was like, sold. And then she's dead. That's
must
the end
keep,
of her.
Must keep living.
Must keep this old ass woman fucking alive.
Yeah. So, he says, so as he's swinging, he gets the spidey sense goes off and he sees Luca Brasi walking.
Yeah.
With a big suit coat and it's like this big hulking guy.
Yes. Large man.
He looks like, it ultimately looks like his name is Zabo.
Uh-huh.
But it kind of reminds me of Bibbo from Superman.
Okay.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Remember that he's got that big guy with
vaguely.
The hat?
Yeah. Oh,
he's like,
yes.
ship worker or something.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's like the most random Superman character. Just a guy he knows.
And there's a lot of those.
I know, but it's like, this is like the most random. He's like, hey, I work on a ship.
It's like, cool.
Cool. I'll see you sometime.
So Black Cat, Tiger meets the cop. Because I guess she's so into this cop because he reminds her of some other guy she used to date.
It's her husband. She had her ex-husband who I think was killed.
R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D. And she's having like a crossroads, Bone Thugs and Harmony dream.
Pretty much.
About him.
She's like, oh,
showed up.
He reminds me of him. And so she goes and meets up with the cop, which forget what his name is.
Carl. Carl Kronsky.
Ooh, look at that.
Kronsky.
Yeah, nice.
Hi, I'm Carl Kronsky. Want to go on a date?
Wonder what his fat partner's name is.
I think his name was Leo. I think he called him Leo.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Leo Tubbs.
Mm-hmm.
Kronsky and Tubbs coming this year, this season on CBS.
I'd watch that.
It's just a cop and a cop and the other cop.
And a man just covered in mustard.
Just covered his ass and eating sandwiches. Constantly. He just does nothing. He's always fisted a sandwich.
Nice. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
So they go to like some Italian restaurant. They're in this restaurant. Of course she's wearing a bikini.
She doesn't bother to wear any clothes at all.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm Tiger and I'm hot. I'm just wearing this bikini. So they're sitting there and then...
She's literally purring on him.
She's into it. Which, good for her. Again, good for her. So then Zabo, is that his name?
Zabo.
Zabo comes in because her name is like...
Greer Nelson.
Greer. So he's like, Greer, you... We're going to fight. And for some reason, Zabo's just like, I'm going to get pretty much naked to do this.
Yeah.
I have to remove my hat and my coat.
Yeah. He's perfectly good wearing the bimbo hat. Yeah. And then he's just like, you know what? I'm going to become the road warrior.
Fuck it. I'm not wearing anything. You're wearing a bikini. I'm wearing shorts.
Hey, if we're not wearing clothes.
Time to fuck shit up in this Italian restaurant.
Yeah. And
which is exactly what happens.
I kind of like, though, that he's one of those guys that has no pupils.
Oh, yeah, he's got the white eye thing.
Because apparently, okay, so as we learn, he's beaten, and he's trying to attack her. This guy who, now, and I feel bad for this cop, because like, as you'll see later.
Yeah.
Seems like a guy is just trying to do his thing, and like, wow, a hot cat woman, literal cat woman,
yeah,
wants me to hang out with her, and, you know, wants to hang out with me, and, you know, who knows where this is going to go.
Yeah.
And so
asked me out on a date. She's showed up for the date.
She showed up.
We're here having this nice dinner.
She is ready.
Getting the signals.
And
now this dude shows up.
Well, this dude shows up and he's trying to do his job, being like, hey, I'll try to protect you. And, right. You know, you get, but this guy,
I am a policeman.
Right. He's a policeman. But this guy, you know, this Zabo is he's a behemoth. He's just a big monster. And he just punches him out of the way. Like, he yeah. basically three, I think I counted like three times where this yeah. guy goes, hey, stop. And the Zabo just goes, poof.
Yeah.
Just knocks his ass out.
And I guess this guy, so when Tiger was being turned into the cat, she was like in some lab or whatever, and something malfunctions and this guy, she thinks, dies.
Well, yeah. So there was a doctor.
Uh huh.
Dr. Donald Bain.
I thought you were going to say Donald Brick for some reason.
No, well, actually, no. Well, there's okay. So he's not a guy. He's just a rich. He's like a rich guy.
Mm.
This guy,
they
Donald
tend
Bain.
To be.
And so she, because there was a doctor that was like, I think Greer Nelson was like CIA or
well,
SHIELD.
She said, didn't she say it was like in her class or something? Her physics class. Or?
What was the thing? She has, yeah. So her physics teacher.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's her high school physics teacher. Was hey, you want to get in like this hyperbaric chamber and become a cat?
Yeah.
She's like, sure. I'm not doing anything.
I got nothing else to do.
You know, as long as I can be home to watch, you know, All in the Family, I'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
But she turns, so she does, she's doing this project, and the guy that's funding it, this Donald Bain, he wanted to, quote, create a secret army of superwomen.
Nice.
Probably for nefarious reasons.
Of course.
So he was like, she's like, I'm going to stop that. And as they're fighting, so they end up, there's a fight, and this Zabo, who is way more nude here, he's like, literally he's wearing a diaper.
He's literally just wearing tighty whities in that picture.
He's just like, here's my bodyguard underwear man.
Yeah,
but he this guy like falls on top of this machinery and like it malfunctions and like electrocutes him or whatever.
Yeah, and he dies.
And he dies supposedly, but he's been resurrected somehow. And it's not really explained. Does that look like they really explain like
where that
came from?
Yeah, I don't think that they do. It's just like he's been resurrected and I guess he's pissed off because the scientist was the only guy who was like nice to him. And
the money guy.
The money guy. And so he thinks that the science money guy is dead because of Greer.
Mm-hmm.
So or Tigra. So now he's here to kill her.
Yeah. When in reality, apparently he killed himself.
Well, apparently, like as we find out later in the book, the money guy was Zabo's brother.
Yes.
And the scientist actually died by suicide.
Yeah.
So there's like a whole thing.
But if he's dead, who resurrected him? I might need to do some research because I don't know if this is a thing where we get like, you know, like, you know, further the further adventures of Zabo.
Marvel. He probably just shows
hey,
up.
Hey, true believers, get ready for Zabo.
Jesus.
No. Zabo number one coming to a comic book trash can near you.
Oh, my.
So Spider-Man, though, shows up and he swings in here and I do like him immediately jumping at Zabo
mm-hmm.
and breaking his feet.
Yeah. Yeah, because Spider-Man's like, I'm here and gonna do it. But apparently Zabo's just like a fucking broadside of a barn.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man just like sprains his feet.
And this guy, and this poor Italian restaurant.
Yeah, that's the thing.
People are still in here for some reason.
People are still enjoying their pasta.
Tigra is like, hey, could we, you know, first of all, Spider-Man, what the fuck?
Right.
Let me handle this. I am Tigra. I know how to do things. I was an Avenger.
Yeah, I got this, bro.
And Spider-Man's like, no, this is my book, half of my book. I need to be here.
Sure. Yeah.
So he shows
I'm supposed
up.
To show up.
So he shows up and they just, and Tigra's like, let's get the hell outside.
Yeah.
And I do actually remember these panels where everybody's running out and you just see this maitre d'. And he's just got these different reactions. It's like, you know, he's kind of like, he looks like angry and then sad and scared. He's like, oh, you know, like that. I imagine that's the voices that the sounds coming out.
I mean, I can't really blame him for being pissed off. Like a bunch of people just showed up at his damn restaurant.
Oh, I know. I mean, she's going to be probably out of work for a little while.
Yeah.
He's ruining the economy, Spider Zabo. And Tigra.
Uh-huh.
I also like this. Everybody runs out and then this cop comes after. He's like, hey, remember me. I'm coming to do stuff.
Exactly. He's like, wait, doesn't he like stop at a payphone and like call for backup?
Yeah, eventually he calls for backup and we're fighting on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Zabo's like swinging like lampposts. Like he's out of his mind here, man. Like, and so Spider-Man's trying to help and he accidentally webs Tigra's hand to a wall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because like Zabo moves or something and he like shoots.
Well, no, because the cop shows up.
Oh, that's right. The cop shows up.
The cop shows up. He's like, hey, I'm here to do something. And like the Spider-Man botches and hits Tigra.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, thankfully she doesn't get, you know, murdered.
Basically, it's like do less cop.
Yeah. Do less cop. You know, just let Tigra handle this. You know, if we need your help, Spider-Man, we'll call you.
Yeah, right.
So we kind of, yeah. So then we're kind of just trying to understand here, you know, like trying to explain to him, hey, you know, he didn't die.
Well,
you know,
is this after like he kind of like smacks her and she like goes to the ground?
I don't know. Cause it was one where she's on the ground. She's trying to talk. Cause she's like trying to tell him like, hey, this, you know, Donald Bane is I almost keep on saying Donald Bane.
Yeah.
Donald Bane is he was a loser. He was using you. And also, this is actually a part two where they fall into a Quickie Burger.
Yes.
They fall into a Quickie Burger, so keep that in mind.
And even Spider-Man's like, we're in a Quickie Burger.
It's like, hey, but the odds. Jesus. But then we eventually, she's trying to tell us, like, hey, you know, you're being used by this, you know, Donald Bane, or somebody's using you in his name, whatever. And he's like, no, Donald Bane was my brother.
Yeah. And then she's like, I understand him now. Like, you know, I know you're in pain or whatever.
But he's just being manipulated.
Yeah. And she's like, but, you know, it's okay. Like, whatever. And then all of a sudden they decide that they need to protect Zabo from all the cops that just showed up.
Yeah. Cause the backup shows up. Mm. And actually it's just crazy. Like this crazy like thing where Zabo is punching Tigra in the kidneys while Spider-Man is grabbing his other arm and trying to do something. But then, like, the riot squad shows up and, you know, led by Kronsky.
Right.
And Tigra's like, no, he's being manipulated. He's a zombie, angry zombie man.
Yeah, pretty much.
We need to, don't let this angry zombie man run free.
Right.
Escape. We need this to happen.
Right.
And so Spider-Man and his infinite wisdom somehow, and I didn't know his webbing could do this because it's just... It just comes out of his arms. Like, I know it shoots, but apparently he's able to spread it.
Yeah, he kind of basically turns it into a net.
It turns into a net and covers the entire police force in it.
Gross.
So they could.
So he can, like, drag them.
Yeah, so, like, Greer can convince Zabo to, you know, get out of here or whatever. And she's like, look, you could kill me, but, you know, you have to understand, your brother killed himself, you know, and this is just how it is, man. And he sheds a tear.
Yeah.
This man, he's like, he's got his hands up like, and he's shedding a tear and he just punches the wall and runs away.
Yep. Yep.
Goodbye, Zabo.
Bye, Zabo.
I'll have to see whatever happens to him. I'm curious, like, what we...
This might be a one and done.
It might be. I'm curious. I mean, it'd be obviously he had something to do, like, he had other appearances when in the cat, the claws of the cat or whatever. The first issue of that. But I'm wondering if this comes back. You know, she's in the West Coast Avengers and, like, you know, all of a sudden Zabo's like, yo, I remember me, you know, but they're all talking afterwards and Spider-Man, somehow the cops are just covered in webbing and they're not trying to arrest Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I guess they really can't because they can't get free, right? And the only cop that's free is the guy she was on a date with.
Yeah. Well, he's like, oh, I'll just have to spin this somehow.
Because he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll have to spin this somehow. And Spider-Man's like, don't worry about it. The webbing will
degrade. Dissolves after like an hour.
Yeah. And he's like, but I'll be gone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, true. But I mean, they should, I don't know. I feel like there's probably more cops would have shown up, you know, because they would have been like, oh no,
Spider-Man. I assume.
You know, but that's not the case. And just as this is, you know, as this is going on, Don Draper shows up and he's freaking the hell out because
his spokeswoman has been thrown through, I guess, like the busiest location in Manhattan of the Quickie Burger.
Yeah. So he is not happy about that. And then real quick. Well, hang on here. So I just didn't want to go in order because his fate is just Spider-Man just shoots webbing out of his face.
Oh, that's right. Because he won't shut up. Yeah.
But then this poor cop. I feel bad. I kind of feel bad because everything's done. And what's her face? Tiger is like, all right, I'm out of here. And he's like, hey, what about us? And she's like, not tomorrow, not tonight, maybe ever.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? I think I'm out.
And I'm like, but he was just trying to do his job.
Yeah. But I think what she realized was like, the only reason she was really into him is because he reminded her of her dead husband, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's kind of what happened there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're not going to have the Kronsky Chronicles anytime soon, but that's how that ends. Next issue of Spider-Man Team Up. We still have a little bit more to go here, but
yep.
Spider-Man Team Up is Spider-Man and the Hulk are teaming up.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's another story. So we're getting another 2-for-1. Son of Satan and Power Man, which is an interesting combo. I'm not familiar with that, and I don't know if this probably might be the only time they've ever hung out. So I like both of those characters. So
yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
So, and we'll see what's going on with the Hulk, and we'll see if Spider-Man got more cash for Aunt May and tuned up to go out with Adrian Barbeau. Yeah, maybe we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Greetings, guys and ghouls. I'm the Invisible Dan Colon, and this is The Monsters That Made Us. Join Monster Mike Manzi and I on the last Friday of every month as we celebrate all of the spooktacular characters and films in the Universal Studios classic monster series. From The Phantom of the Opera to The Creature Walks Among Us, we sink our teeth into all the gory details as we dissect the films that gave us some of the most iconic movie monsters of all time. The Monsters That Made Us is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more information, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
To wrap it up, though, we do have like a short backup story for Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch, written and produced pretty much by the same. Well, Jamie DeMatteis doesn't write it. I think it's Joe Duffy. And then the same art team. But this one's called Crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off with whatever this movie, there's a film set.
It's a film set. And what is the name of this movie?
Well, that's not the name of this movie. They're saying this is going to be the next movie. This movie's going to be better than Corpses in the Playground.
I would watch that movie right now.
This is 1983. If that movie came out anytime in the previous 5 years.
Oh, man, I bet it's fucking sweet.
That has got to be like a video nasty.
Oh, 100%.
Through and through. Maybe it's like that movie, The Children, when the children drive through that gas cloud and they become like flesh eaters and shit. We watch that.
Probably.
Yeah. So, so I think that's going to be a good time. But
I was hoping it was kind of be like The House by the Cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Which that's a fun
movie. But with kids?
Yeah.
With more kids, but they're monsters?
Yeah.
See, that's the one I can approve, but it's the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The children, the one where they're on the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's fucked up, and they're trying to hug all the adults.
They're trying to hug the adults, but the adults are like, oh, my child, and they're like, arr.
Yeah, because they're all zombies.
Oh, no, they start, like, dissolving them.
Yes, they do.
That's right. They don't eat them. They just kind of, like,
no, they start dissolving them.
Melting these.
If they, hug them.
They got acid hugs.
That's right.
But then with this movie, whatever this is doing, because I thought this woman was the Agatha Harkness?
Nope.
For a second, but it's not.
Well, see, here's the problem. So they're on this film set, and the actress has decided to ad-lib using dialogue that she copied out of some old book she found at a thrift store.
So two things. I have to do the two things.
Don't do that.
First of all, don't do that.
Yeah.
Also, I thought this was the Darkhold book.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it is.
It's not. I think it's just some random fucking book.
Just some random book. So she went to the bookstore in the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened.
This is what happened.
But I have to say, and maybe you, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but in the beginning of Pet Sematary 2.
Okay.
You've seen Pet Sematary 2 too?
I feel like I have. Long? Probably.
So his mom is an actress. And,
oh, yes, yes. Okay.
And they're shooting this fake movie.
Yeah.
And she gets electrocuted in it.
Yes.
This is what that movie looks like.
I think 100%.
This is I think this is the movie.
I think you're right.
Edward Furlong's mom from Anthony Edwards, you know, wife or whatever. Well, is
I mean,
killed.
They have all her clothes. Then that really weird woman like tries them on. So I'm sure they also have this book.
Yes, yes. This was this is how that got adapted. So they were looking for Pet Sematary, and like it was like, hey, we need some material. And somebody was reading this particular issue, and they said, hey, what if we do this? Get rid of the book,
mm-hmm.
but then just have this woman get electrocuted by a fence. An active fence.
Oh, God. If you find an old-ass book that has, like, Latin in it, don't read it out loud.
No. Do not.
It's like rule number one, and yet these people do it all the time.
They are very dumb. So she summons a monster.
Mm-hmm.
A monster who eventually we find is named the Beast of Belialth.
Yes.
Belialth.
This green guy with like a fire head.
Green guy, and he's got like flames or whatever, and he starts like shooting flames, and everybody's freaking out, as they should.
Yep.
It just happens as this is happening that Wanda, or Scarlet Witch.
She's like shopping.
She's looking for shirts.
For Vision.
She's looking at this. What appears to be a yellow and green shirt with that the green is our shamrocks, it looks like.
Kinda, yeah.
So she's like, you know, she's like, well, this kind of looks like the shirt we wore on vacation.
Like on their honeymoon.
Yeah. So maybe he might like this. And I don't know. I don't know if we ever find out. We never find out.
Nope.
So but this is happening, and she uses her powers. And this is the thing where I feel like we get a little bit of the way I understand what her powers are a little bit.
She kind of says it like 8 times.
She says it like a million times. And I get it, but I also don't understand why.
I don't understand it at all. Her power makes no sense to me.
Because she's like, well, I'm going to set.
But I'm an idiot. So
I'm going to cast a hex on this object, and the probability.
Her mutant power is that she can cast hexes that. Manipulate probability
for things to happen. In this case, she does it towards a water tower, you know, because this monster's on fire and it spews a bunch of water because, you know, she somehow the odds were in her favor.
Just say she has magic.
Yes.
I don't understand why we have to have this probability thing.
Oh, we also forgot to mention, as this is happening, she runs into Wong.
Yes, he's on the street.
Well, he's like out grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And she, you know, he, you know, he's about to get like hurt
by
and,
this
she
monster.
And so she runs off, and they run to the, you know, the Sanctorium. And he's like, you know, and Wong's like, hey, why are you able to get in here? You shouldn't be able to do this.
Dr. Strange shows up and he's like, oh, hi, Wanda.
He's like, oh, hi, Wanda.
Oh, hi, Wanda. And he's like, she's like, what? And he's like, oh, you're the Scarlet Witch. And he like just makes her costume appear.
He puts an illusion over her current clothes.
Yeah.
To make it look like her costume. I don't understand that. Like, did she have to have her costume?
No.
No.
No. That's kind of weird.
I mean, I know that are we not going to enjoy this back issue more if she's just using her street clothes to, like, do this deed?
She's, like, telling him what's going on, that there's this monster out there, and it showed up, and it's got a fire head, and she dumped water on it. And he's like, you know what we should do? Let's have some tea. And she's like, but it's like rampaging across the city. And he's like, meh.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? We're gonna do this.
Yeah.
You just tell me what happened.
Yeah.
And I think after reading a book here, I think it's the Fire Beasts of Belialth.
Mm-hmm.
And the harm such a creature could do to human beings is too terrible to contemplate.
So they're like, all right, time to like go out and battle this thing.
Well, it shows up. Yeah,
it shows up. So they're outside, and like Doctor Strange does some sort of like weird mental thing and like makes it so he can talk to the monster?
Well, real quick, this is before we get another one of Wanda's hexes, because she, like, somehow wills a sign that's nowhere near them.
That's right.
To fly in front of Doctor Strange before he's about to get, like, blown up.
Right.
So Doctor Strange does his thing. So yep. What's he doing?
Oh, he, like, from his head.
He's using the Eye of Agamotto.
That's right it is. So he's like, hey, I'm going to make it so I can understand your language. And this thing is just like, hi, I'm scared and alone and people are mean to me and nobody knows what I'm talking about and I just want to go home.
Well, this is what they say. So they were accidentally summoned because idiot movie production.
Yeah, well.
But he's like, look, I don't know why I was brought here. Nobody here understands the language of cast flame. So he's trying to like talk to people, but the only way he could do it is by shooting them with fire.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty sweet language.
But it's kind of sad because he's like,
this
monster is crying because he's like, I'm so lonely. I want to go home. It's like, God damn, man.
I know. And like, I'm like, dude, you've only been here for like 20 minutes.
It'd be true. I mean, but
he's like, nobody can understand me and I'm really lonely and I just want to go home. And Doctor Strange is like, oh, okay, no problem. Here, let me open this portal to your dimension. So you can go be with the other cast flames.
Yeah, back there and, you know, to your version of New York City and shoot each other with fire and talk to each other and, you know, see how that goes, you know?
And he's like, thanks, Doctor Strange. You're so kind. And then that's pretty much it.
Yeah. He removes her clothing.
Oh, yeah. He
from
like
her vision.
Yeah.
What if he did a mistake and he's like, oops, I took off your real clothing. Now you're nude. Oh, I better put your real clothing back on. Sorry, I'm Doctor Strange. I mess up sometimes.
Oops, your clothes fell off.
Porky starring Doctor Strange.
Right. He's all creepy now.
Yeah, right. And in return, though, for her gratitude, Wanda makes flowers appear.
Okay.
Sure. And that's how this ends. And we are in and out of this Marvel team-up book starring Spider-Man and Tigra and Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch.
Yep.
Marvel team-up number 125, January 1983. We did mention next issue is going to have another 2-for-1.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be getting Spider-Man and the Hulk. So those are some good heavy hitters. We'll see what we're doing there.
Yeah.
I look forward to the Hulk being like, Hulk wants to be left alone. Spider-Man's like, I don't know, man. You showed up in Malibu for some reason, and I'm here. You know, Aunt May wanted some surfboard, so I had to go get it. Now you're here, so let's fight, you know, Absorbing Man or some shit.
Absorbing Man.
And then we also get Hellstorm and
Power Man,
Luke Cage. That should be interesting.
That's kind of fun.
That's a duo I'm not familiar with ever hanging out together, but I will welcome that.
Yeah.
So very cool. And so join us for next week for that. And we're gonna wrap this up. Thanks for joining us. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on all the socials because why not?
Yes. And YouTube, Angry Hero 79. If you jump in to that, you can find a playlist that is actually linked to this podcast, to the podcast description. If you can get that, I think you get that on Apple now, but Spotify, definitely you can click on the link and it'll take you right to this ongoing updating playlist on YouTube that is using our RSS feed. So if you really want to listen on YouTube, you can. And it's actually interesting because I've gotten at least two people comment on the some of the videos,
yeah,
just be like, you guys are back. And I'm like,
surprise,
here we are. But now we're here, and you can listen to us on YouTube, and that's great. And of course, yes, all the places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
wherever fine podcasts are hosted.
Or we're not a fine podcast.
No, we're not, but we're also there.
we are at the bottom somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll catch you again next time.
Bye.